All right, so that was Woody Shaw on trumpet, and that's a little number of his called Dat Beer. It's a take on This Here. So he did his version called Dat Beer, and that is from his 1987 album, Imagination. Well, we started off today with a little Kink. I don't know if this is a harbinger of what's to come today, but we will proceed. We'll proceed. I hope you had a good weekend, rested up a bit, got yourselves back in the groove, as it were, but that you're taking it a little easy, because as I looked at the events of the weekend and the previous week, it's, you know, we have to watch the tendency that we get caught up in all of this nonsense that's going on, swirling all around us and threatening to take us in to that vortex out of which we may never get. It just swallows you. But we don't want that to happen at all. We want to be able to just remain calm and learn when to shut it off, because it will take over your life, that's for sure. And that is not what you want to happen. But let's talk about what's going on here. I'll get my notes and we'll get started. I was wondering what you're thinking, if you've had a chance to assess the cumulative effect on you of last week and what went on last week. How did you cope with the craziness of last week? And I want to ask you some more questions about this week, some craziness coming down the pike this week. It is not funny, I mean, in the sense of ha-ha funny, it's not funny, but when you look at things, and I had a chance over the weekend to look at where we have been, it's a lot of stress. And it's important to note that much of it, if not most of it, has nothing to do with us. The stress is happening to us, and we're trying to manage it as best we can, but, you know, we're not stress experts. So stress will seep in wherever it can and will cause disturbances in our lives. But at some point, you have to know or learn what is yours and what is not yours. The stress that we're experiencing collectively is not ours. But we have been put upon by governments and systems that govern our lives to just deal with it. I don't like it one bit. And I wish, it's not that I think we should have no stress in our lives. That's not even realistic. We're going to have stresses in our lives. But it's just the unrelenting nature of it. And it is, it begins to accumulate. And it comes in layers. Just when you think you have that problem kind of in hand and, okay, you understand it, something else comes along and boom, compounds it. And now you're stuck trying to figure out, is it's a chicken or the egg kind of thing. Which do you deal with first? I was wondering how you're dealing with things. How are you coping with the speed and the velocity of the crazy news that we have been experiencing? And more than that, how do you see yourself in the broad scheme of things? Are you managing well? Are you hanging in there, or are you just hanging? I chuckled, but of course, I started the program by indicating this is anything but funny. But you have to find a way to not be overwhelmed by the things that are happening and the speed at which they're happening and the impact that they're having as they are happening. So let's start a little chat about that today. And not, I don't want to go into the subject matter that I have lined up for today. It's kind of heavy, but we need a little break. You know what I mean? We need to just breathe a little bit and get our focus once again as to where we are and how we're managing with our lives and the things that are placed in our path to deal with. How are you managing? How are you dealing? I don't mean to sound like I'm a psychiatrist. Lord knows I need a psychiatrist. But just to give you a sense that from time to time, it's good to ask yourself this kind of a question. Because we are wafted here and there, thither and yon, to and fro every single day. And we don't think about it, the cumulative effect of it. But it does have a cumulative effect. And of course, it affects each person differently. But by and large, I just don't want us to feel that we're losing it, that we're losing so much ground that there isn't any ground left anymore. And that's really a dangerous place to be. So let's talk for the next few minutes about how you're coping. How do you think you're coping? And are you getting along okay, despite all the madness? Are you okay? I really want to know that you're okay. 888-874-4888. Let's talk about that for a minute and what you're doing to keep yourself centered and settled in these very unsettling times. You know, we tend to pay attention, of course, to what is happening in the world, and we feel compelled to be, you know, up to snuff on these things, not realizing that we are also internalizing a lot of these things in terms of pressure, in terms of worry. We are uncertain about our future. We have anxieties. And I was wondering if you're okay. Call me and let me know whether you're okay. Not that you're supposed to be perfect. Everything is supposed to work out perfectly for you. I mean, that's not realistic. I'm asking instead, do you feel that you're okay in terms of control? You know when to stop the madness. You know when to just shut everything down and go away for a minute. Take some time to relax. Tend to your families and loved ones. And begin to restore yourself that way. Are you doing that kind of work? Are you okay in that sense? That's what I would like to know. And I sincerely hope that you're doing that kind of work, because we soldiers, I include myself, sometimes the last thing that we do is pay attention to our own needs. And it may just simply be a time and a place where we decelerate and we go into ourselves and we try to figure out, are we okay? Are we all right? Can we go another 10 miles without much worry? Or do we see danger signs that, you know, we need to decelerate faster than we thought or sooner than we thought? And for the time being, you have to set aside certain things and deal with you and your family and your loved ones. Janet from New Jersey, you're on the air.
And
hello.
Hello, Yatrice. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
I can.
Hi, how are you and the NPR family?
Well, thank you for asking. You know, I really needed it.
Well, I wanted to respond to you in reference to your change of subject, in reference to how we're doing. And I am up in my 70s, and this weekend what we decided to do, we have family members, I have siblings that all have different opinions and ideas about things, but we decided as a whole that we were going to put those things aside, get together, have a meal together without the fears, the anxieties of other outside things. We sat down. We had the most magnificent dinner. We weren't able to deal with a lot of the negativity. We decided we would focus on the progressiveness and the love that the younger people who were in our environment, how we needed to lift them up and to see that they had the necessary mental, moral fortitude to move forward. We shared and we got together. Everybody participated in contributing something to the meal. And once the meal was over, it wasn't a time for a lot of confrontational conversation. We decided we were going to play a game where every single individual, no matter what their age, would participate. And we had so much fun. It was the most fun time, and after everyone left, we lost track of time. We had no idea what time it was. And different family members had so much distance that they had to do in order to travel, but it didn't matter because the love and the interaction was there, and that's how we were able to surface on that holiday.
So do you think you accomplished something? Did you feel better? Did you feel
absolutely
prepared?
Oh, absolutely, because each family member, because of how they were dealing with things with the outside interventions, after we left, the text messages, the phone calls, and for the family members that did not get a chance to come or to show up, they shared the time with them with such enthusiasm. And I say to you, to this very day, they're still talking about the joy that they felt in their hearts about their interaction. And I have to say to you, I am the oldest in the family at this point, and I made an extra effort to make sure that with my prayers and fortitude that I could bring something like that together. And you can't imagine, I'm elated that it was successful.
That's great to hear. That's really, did you intend to do this way ahead, long before it actually happened, or?
Absolutely.
No.
Absolutely. And the thing it is in my own personal life, I have tried to navigate and make sure within my own arena that I'm reaching deeper to the core of what is significant and what is important, weaning out a lot of things that can erode and become very cancerous to your mind, your soul, and your body. And I think I started doing that kind of thinking when I was 15 years old because I saw so much disruption. All of my family is from the South, and I saw so much hurt and so much disruption. And I knew that there had to be some other mechanism in order to cope with these things. Of course, I had my growing pains and learning how to deal and navigate through a lot of things. But the reality of it is, if you wean out those things that will cause destruction to your core and who you want to be as an individual and how you want to maneuver and interact in society, you can become a victim of some very, very damaging things. Mm. And I mean emotionally and spiritually.
So were you glad, I'm sure I know the answer to that question, are you glad that you did it?
I am elated.
And said, let's get this done.
I am elated. I am absolutely elated. And I think we need to take back our power. I mean, so much time is spent giving away your power to doubt, giving away your power to outside disruptions, giving away your power to trying to solve unnecessary complexities. The thing it is to peel away the layers of those things that do not play an immediate part in your life and focus on what those things are.
Well, I'm sitting down, but I'm actually dancing for joy for you.
Well, it should not just be for me. It should not be for just me, because we all have the power from within ourselves to bring that to the surface and make it a broader mindset rather than us latching on to those things.
But you started it.
Eroding.
You started somewhere.
Yeah, and you have to.
And you see the impact it immediately has had,
yes.
The ripple effect, and that's what we need, because we seldom think in our community that, you know, we need a little bit of softness in our lives, too. We need a little bit of tending to. We generally don't think that.
I understand.
You know, but it's good to just pause for even just a couple of minutes and say, I need to love me a little bit here. I need to just be kind to myself.
But there's a thing with that too, if you don't. I'm sorry to interrupt. But there's a thing with that also. I have had the opportunity to do a lot of international travel. And I have seen that the circumstances that may happen within a 5 to 15 block radius, those things are happening all over the world, and they have been. But the reality of it is how do people collectively step out of the individual thought and be connected to their world humanity? And it's a huge, huge task when you start looking at it in such a large way. But the thing it is that if those things are happening internationally, they're not happening in a vacuum. They're happening because of something. And the only way to turn those things around is to be able to gather the power that you have from within and not compromise it for any reason and continue to move forward.
Well, you started us off on a great footing today, and I thank you for it.
It's lovely talking to you.
Because it was very inspiring, not only what you did, but what you were inspired to do, and you did it.
Exactly.
And you immediately can tell that this is a beneficial thing. It probably released a lot of a lot of pressure that you had been building up for a long time, and you needed being tended to. We don't think of ourselves as being that vulnerable. You know, we're always strong, blah, 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 blah. But in fact, we're very tender people.
Yeah,
and
but the reality,
we have
to reach out. That's right. I thank
you
so
much for getting us started today, Janet. I really appreciated your call because it was so uplifting. Thank you. Thanks so much. Harvey from Berkeley. How are you?
Hello, totally wonderful Eutrice.
Hello, Harvey. How are you today?
I'm great, and I don't let them ruin my day. When I wake up in the morning, you know, the first thing they hit you, even if you walk outside past some newspaper vending machines, the headlines, they take you down right away. And I don't let them take me down. Dr. Hans Selye, he was a researcher in Montreal, he discovered that stress is the harbinger of illness and disease. You tighten up, your circulation is reduced, you're more vulnerable to disease and stress. So I'm not going to let the media do that to me. Now, we live in a world of 8 billion people on our planet. So my question is, what is the news? Is it about what a politician here says? Is it about what something happens in India? Is it about some guy on a street in China? No, it's very carefully manipulated. The news is focused on you, and it's arranged. You know, the items are true. This one shot that one shot this one, on and on. But it's the arrangement of the items that create the stress. And I believe a lot of it is done for economic purposes. So it would be like explosions, fire, destruction. You're in good hands with Allstate. You know, the ads are the answer. The newspaper is delivers the stress, and then they deliver the ads to you, and you go out and buy the insurance or whatever right away, or whatever it is, it's the answer. So it's kind of a convolution there. They're using us to assist the capitalist system. And same thing with the military. The military absolutely needs an enemy to justify the budgets they get. They have to keep this enemy thing going. And so it's like, be afraid of the Koreans, they have the bomb. Be afraid of China, be afraid of Russia. Every day is just on and on and on. And of course, you know, every once in a while we get an extra stress, like the COVID there, keeps us all separate. Keeps us all 6 feet away, no touchy, no touching. People are touchy-feely, and I've heard people say that they miss, like, the hugs they get from each other. We really are played. We're played. We're absolutely played. And so I just say, screw. I don't let them ruin my day, for sure. And one of the great things I do is love to get on the talk shows with you and share I feel that your station, the Progressive Radio Network, has some of the more real things that are happening, not just designed to take advantage of us and get us all hyped up so that we go visit the doctor and load up on depressants, antidepressants, and sleeping pills and all the rest of it. It's all a kind of a game, a sick and twisted game. So you have to create your own news. You have to create your own reality. My happiness is I go out in the morning, and I call myself now Trash Angel. I go out and I clean up my neighborhood, and that's the news. The news is my neighborhood is looking good, and I say hello to people in the morning, and it's just a terrific thing. So I'm not going to let the for money, for profit media ruin my day, and I say let's all enjoy our life while we have our health, our good health and happiness, and be kind to the neighborhood. And it's nice to be nice, and that's my thing.
Well, thank you, Harvey, for giving us a little injection of positivity and hope today. We need it. You know, the news of late has been all about the negatives, and we may not be conscious of the impact it's having, but I felt myself being drained.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's designed to do that to you. That's why we need community gardens. Go out and hug a tree. Do something for real. Don't just sit there and be fed like a baby. They're feeding you pablum, you know, here's another stressful thing. Here now, isn't this awful? Oh, look at that's terrible. But if you go away on a cruise, you'll be happy. So So don't, you know, and when people go away, like on a cruise, they cut out the news, suddenly they feel better. They feel better, you know. So it's a kind of, yeah, it's a game, and it dovetails with the economy, and it keeps us all in line, keeps us unhappy, keeps us sick, keeps us afraid of each other. I mean, I'm one to step up and say hello to people, and I get a good hello in response. So that's my way of going through the day and staying happy and staying healthy. Thank you, Therese.
Thank you, Harvey, for calling in and sharing that with us. Okay, from Long Island, Ralph, you're on the air. Okay, he hung up. 888-874-4888. Were you beginning to feel like what we've been talking about? You feel drained by life and the vicissitudes of life, you know, just eating at the last reserves of energy you have left, and goodwill and hope. You know, you're getting to a point where you're on this treadmill and you're concerned about the problems of the world, knowing full well you cannot, as one person, fix the world. But we are in a bad place, it seems to me, because the pressure is mounting for us to concentrate on what's wrong. What's wrong with the world? And stay there. Instead, we heard Janet talk very hopefully about her experience this weekend and what an impact it had. And that's just people getting together and taking time to decelerate, you know, to just move away from the pressures, the daily pressures of life, which erode. They erode into your skin, into your mind. And soon they take over. You see no reason to have hope. You're more concerned about what's wrong with life and why things aren't being done, when everything is right within your ability to affect. And we haven't been kind to ourselves. We think we're so strong. You could keep going like this for another 100 years. No, you can't. You ingest this stuff, and then what do you do with it? It becomes part of your cellular makeup. It actually is part of you. You carry that with you wherever you go. Reject that stuff. You know, take a shot at being a little bit happier and more hopeful in life. And be more aware of how you and your life touch other people's lives. And what is the responsibility there? I don't know, but you will have to answer that question. But it would make you a lot happier to be a lot more centered. Ralph from Long Island, are you there? Okay, 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. And for some reason, I woke up this morning feeling dog tired. I mean, I was very tired. And then it dawned on me that it wasn't a physical tiredness. I wasn't feeling physically tired. I was feeling, how should I say? I was feeling pressed, and I couldn't name the source of this pressure on me. I couldn't name it. It's like you're doing all these things, but do they help you when you do all these various things? And you divide up your energy and people looking for things from you that require you to give up even more energy that you don't have. And you just want to go someplace and lay down under a tree and say, okay, I'm going to take at least an hour today and be kind to myself because I feel myself losing it. It's not about, well, you do this story, and then after that, you do that story, and then you do another story. In any event, the longer you live, the more stories you will have to tell. But it is vitally important to just decelerate and give yourself permission to be contented with your life. You know, to just be contented. I remember when I was growing up, my parents were a bit unusual, to say the least. They're very unusual. Without warning, you come from school and you'd hear one word, car. That's all you hear. And it means jump in the car. Well, where are we going? We don't know. But we'll find out when we get there. And there was always an intermittent stop. My mother, being a mother, is always concerned about whether her children are hungry, if they've had anything to eat. So we'll stop by a bakery and buy bread and cheese and whatever else. And we continue going. And wherever she felt like going, or my father felt like we ought to go, that's where we ended up. We're still in our school uniforms, and we haven't changed our clothes or anything. And we were so happy with actually next to nothing. We were very, very happy. And this happened very often in our household. You'd come home from school, and you're all about school, what happened, and, you know, the depressing effect you've had to deal with all day. And then that's the answer. The answer is jump in the car. Where are we going? We don't know. We'll find out when we get there. And they were some of the greatest adventures. I even remember them now. We'd go places we never intended to go. And it was a wonderful thing to just be in the car, and my father would be driving, or my mother would be driving, and the rule was just drive, and we'll end up somewhere. And then we can play. We still had homework and whatnot to do. But it was important, and I didn't think of it that way. They saw, in their own way, they wanted to take some of that stress away from their children. Every day in school was a stressful day. You had to have good grades. You have to have, when you take the quiz, you got to do well and so forth. But you can't do that. Even as a child, you are being robbed of some potentially great things in your life. So we'd come home sometimes 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, and we're still in our uniforms, and we're tired, but we're happy. You know, we're very happy. And this went on all through my years growing up. Simple things that our parents used to do to just chill us out and to make us feel good about the fact that you're doing well in school, continue doing well in school, but all also find some time to have some joy in their life. By the way, whenever we went anywhere, the dog also went, and the cat also went. So it was a very interesting group. We'd just show up at a bakery, and we'd order all kinds of things. And we had a great time. Simple, no pre-planning, nothing like that. Just jump in the car. And off we went. And we had no idea where we would end up. I remember we went to the beach once. We didn't come home for a couple of weeks. Our neighbors thought our parents were crazy, but they had the right idea. They would spring it on us as a surprise, and they'd say, beach, you jump in the car. Whatever it is you're wearing, keep it on. But we're going to the beach, and it's not a beach in the sense that you know it. We're going to be hanging out with each other, and we're going to be enjoying ourselves and doing all kinds of crazy things. And I wonder what my life would have been had I not had such crazy parents. Of course, I knew they weren't crazy, but unorthodox in their approach. What would my life have been like? What would I have been able to do that I didn't do because of the way we grew up? But I can't find anything. And my brothers, we all were so grateful that our parents took the time to tend to that part of ourselves. You know, the part that says you ought to have good memories, you ought to have fun, you ought to have a sense of wildness if you can. You know, you can draw, you can do whatever it is you want to do. And we were all doing it together. Nine of us, nine children, so it's 11 in all. So it was a wonderful way to grow up. Simple, very simple things. And very often I find myself drawing the energy, the electricity of those days. And they instantly brighten me up. I instantly feel, I've been patched up. Just recalling those days. You know, it's a wonderful thing to do. But in the last couple of weeks, especially, we've been wafted to and fro by all kinds of forces, and they're not necessarily doing us any good. And we worry. We worry about people's actions or the policies that are being made and the implications of those policies. We worry that change is outside of our sphere of influence, that we have nothing that we can do except wait to see what else is coming down the pike and seeing how best we can adjust. And I'm saying what Janet said today. Reorganize your resources, and they're in your family. Reorganize. And just dig deep for comfort and for an orientation when you feel that you've lost yours. You know, there are people who would tell me from time to time that they were always a happy kid. The older they got, the more morose they became, to the point where they didn't feel like they were useful to anybody. that not even their company was useful to somebody else because they were so down. And I don't know that that's how we want to live. If I could encourage it, make a point of it to see the good things that you have within your family and within yourself. And go there as often as you can. You know, go to that place as often as you can and renew yourself. You know, add some dimension because you're all you've got. And if you're slowly eroding, let's look at it long term. What are you going to be useful for in 5 years or 10 years? Ralph from Long Island, what have you figured out? Oh, okay, Ralph, we're asking about you, but we're not hearing you. Okay, so it means that you haven't called back. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. I kind of wasn't prepared to be talking about this today. I have my notebook, I have my notes, I have all kinds of things that I was supposed to be talking about. But suddenly, as I got closer to airtime, I felt the need to talk about something else. And this is it. We are constantly being wafted here and there. And for other people's purposes, for their expectations, their use. But in the end, you must return to yourself at some point. And I think a large hole exists in many of us that is empty. We are looking for company. We're looking for camaraderie. We're looking for a kind of affirmation that we're okay. We're not bad people at all. We're okay. And we have to defend our right to be okay. We don't have to do whatever is expected because somebody says, well, that's what you do. No. We should be more purposeful in this regard. What is everything you're doing contributing to your overall makeup, your whole plan as a person? What does it help you do and accomplish? Are you a better person? Are you trying to be better? Are you making an effort to move outside yourself and see the world in a whole different dimension in which you play a very important part? You're not the person preyed upon, but you have something to offer, and you have something to offer because you're tending to yourself and your own development as a human being, and you have much to offer. This is very important work for us to do. There are people who can rattle off dates that are significant and developments that are significant, but guess what? In their families, they are disjointed. They are separate. They're isolated, and there's no continuity between who they essentially are and what they think people expect them to be and to do. It's a kind of hypocrisy, really, because we are afraid to show that side of ourselves very freely. You know, I do my thing. I know, I'm a little odd. my nephews and nieces and my brothers and my sister, everybody has kind of adjusted to the fact that the one thing that they could count on is that I will not be ordinary. If they ask me a question, I'll give them an answer, but it will not be ordinary. And I'll provoke in them, in return, a desire to revisit some of the things that they've been doing and thinking. And when they do that, you find that you come to a place of calm. The world is going to hell in a handbasket, okay. But you have to be calm. You have to have a sense that you're handling your part of it. Not oblivious to what else is happening in the world. You're not disconnected from the world. You have to live in this world. But understand it better. Understand yourself better. And don't feel compelled to prove anything to anybody. All you want is that special peace of mind that comes with knowing you're doing your best. You're doing your best. And if you have that peace of mind that you're doing your best, chances are, in fact, you are doing your best. Henry from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Trace, how's it going?
Okay. All right. How's by you?
All right. A little cold today, but it's wintertime, so. I was hoping to get in, you know, before you closed out, because I think this is very important with, you know, the importance of self-care, because, you know, obviously I'm no good to nobody else if I'm not taking care of myself. Now, one of the things that that I try to do to alleviate stress, with just myself, you know, just kind of enjoy the things that I know that would help me to calm my anxieties about certain things, you know, meditation, just sitting down and, you know, doing some light reading, you know, maybe watch some TV, just do some enjoyable things. And especially during, the end of the year where, you know, most of us, we get kind of like time off to enjoy ourselves. And this also, too, is a good time to spend with family. Now, you know, I know back in my younger days, I used to rail on, you know, these holidays are nothing but, you know, such and such. And, you know, they're, you know, holidays for the colonizers. But one thing that I've learned is if you have an excuse to spend time with family, just do it. And don't go off on a tangent about, you know, why you shouldn't celebrate Christmas or Thanksgiving. You know what? We understand that. But if somebody invites you over for dinner or for Thanksgiving, just go. Go, take your best attitude, enjoy your family, and talk about it later. But at that point, you know, just spend time with family. And, you know, think about the relationships that you have also. This is another thing that kind of that I try to do to alleviate stress, because there are certain people that can stress you out.
Oh,
and so sometimes you have to evaluate those relationships and how you handle those relationships, because, you know, they're in relationship. Well, at least in my life, there are necessary relationships and there are unnecessary relationships. And in a lot of sense, you got to cut out the unnecessary relationships. And sometimes we have unnecessary relationships thinking that they're necessary. But once we evaluate them, they're really not that necessary. So that's another way I feel that, you know, that would cut down on a lot of everyday stress for me.
Well, thank you, Henry. you came in the clutch, and as usual, you delivered a powerful message, and we're out of time.
All right, thank you.
Thanks so much for calling in and contributing today. Thank you all for contributing to the program today. I suddenly feel very uplifted. I feel very encouraged. I really do. And I thank you for sharing yourselves with me and with others. And you may never know how you touch someone be encouraged to not give in to the temptations that we all are subjected to, but to find your path and walk it. Thanks so much for being with me today and for sharing yourselves with me today. And let's get back tomorrow and take care of business a little bit more, okay? Bye-bye.